Welcome to COTK Online. It is great to be with you today. It is Memorial Day weekend. I hope that you are having a blast. School is out. I remember as a kid, I remember the last day of school. I remember in high school, I had my watch, old school tick watches. My kids don't even know how to read the time on a clock hardly anymore. And I had it timed to the bell. And I remember so clearly my junior year, watching that second hand go around the dial, waiting for it to hit that 12 o'clock because I knew 2:59 in that 1 second when it hit it. I had it so synchronized when it hit it, the bell went off. And I remember feeling like the weight of the world was off. I knew I had another year of school, but it was my senior year. And I remember getting out my junior year. Oh, Lordy. I remember getting out into the parking lot and feeling like the weight of the world was off of me and I was free to live my life. It was just summer break. With that feeling, maybe you remember that as a kid getting out of school for the summer and how magical that was. That feeling of like, and I'm finally free. Listen, that's just a drop in the bucket of what the Lord has for you as you follow Him. And that's really the crux of today's message. It's Memorial Day weekend, and I pray that you remember that feeling and what it's like, and that you can know that God has a life for you to live, that if you trust Him, feelings come and go, but you truly live in freedom. That's kind of the title of the message, Living in Freedom. So we're going to look at the book of 1 John, really just the first couple of chapters. This isn't necessarily a deep dive, but it's so foundational. It is the foundation of us and our spiritual walk with Christ. So here we go, 1 John chapter 1. And this is the Apostle John, and he's writing to the church, and he says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen." And John is talking about his time that he spent with Jesus while Jesus was on this earth. "We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands." We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. And as I read that, I'm going, man, John actually physically saw and spent time and touched the physical body of Jesus. And then I asked myself the question, have I seen Jesus? You know, I've never had a visitation from Jesus, a bodily visitation from Jesus. It's never happened in my life. You know, I've never seen him. I've never physically touched Jesus, but I know this, I've met him and I know him. And it wasn't a physical meeting. It was a spiritual one. Where as a kid, he knocked on the door of my heart and I knew it was him and I opened it. So I can say, you know, I haven't physically seen him like John has. He says, you know, we saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands, but he touched me and I opened my heart to him. So I met him and I know him. Have you seen Jesus? Have you met Jesus? All of this is foundational. And then he says, he is the word of life. Is Jesus your word of life? Is Jesus your word of life? Or is he just a historical character? Is he somebody that you model your life after? Or is it somebody that you strive to know more every day? It's really convicting stuff as I'm reading 1 John, and I'm just going to be really honest. This was out of my devotional about a week and a half ago. My daily devotional was out of 1 John. And I'm reading this going, you know what? I've not seen Jesus, but I've met him and I know him. He's the word of life. And just, is that my word of life? Like, what's your word of life? Is it Jesus? The Lord's been showing me some. Oftentimes, when I say to somebody, like, we're parting ways, like, bye, I'll often say, have fun. And that's just been highlighted in the last few weeks, how often I'll say, have fun, and felt like the Lord whispered to me, why are you saying that? It's like the opposite of a salutation and a greeting. It's a departing. It's like my aloha. Hey, have fun. And then just as I read this, Lord, what is my word of life? Because so many people, their word of life is, I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm going to go have fun. And our word of life should be Jesus. Have you seen Jesus? What's your word of life? Then John goes on. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. What does my life proclaim? What comes out of my mouth? What comes out of my heart? Does my life proclaim Christ? So the questions that I asked myself, and now I'm asking you, have you met Jesus? Have you? Is he your word of life? What do you proclaim is a source of life? What is it? And as I started 1 John, it was just a foundational reminder. Following Jesus is simple, but it's not easy. And that we need to regularly and consistently take stock of where we are in our relationship with him. This is what I've learned after 25 years of marriage. If I just put the relationship on autopilot with my wife, it ain't going nowhere but downhill. If I'm not intentional, say, hey, let's spend time together. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, you want to go on a date? I've got this reservation and name the restaurant. I've got my favorites. If I'm not intentional about that relationship and I just put it on autopilot, it's always going to go down because that's the nature, the broken nature of humanity. But if I want to live the life that God's called me to, I need to be intentional, not just with the relationship that I have with my wife and my kids and my friends and my family, my relationship with him. So what's your next step if you realize that maybe you can grow in your relationship with the Lord? You're like, no, I met you, Jesus, but like we ain't talked in a while. Like, oh, yeah, you are my word of life, but maybe I've been saying some other words maybe I've been proclaiming things that, okay, maybe you were like me and it was just time to go, Lord, what's my walk like with you? What are we to do? Here's the great thing. First couple chapters, all about it. Simplicity, but not easy. Not always. It's intentional. Verse 5. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and now declare to you that God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say that we have fellowship with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth, but if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you want to grow, and you go like, I want to grow. I want to be what God's called me to be. Let me tell you, here's the first step. I've only got three because it's the first couple chapters. Here's the first one. You are called to live in the light, to live in the light of Christ. Let me remind you that the enemy can only traffic in darkness. Where does every broken aspect of sin, every curse that's handed down generationally from father to son, from mother to daughter, where is all that traffic that's always trafficked in darkness? I don't know if you're like me, but I grew up being told this, and now I tell my children, ain't nothing good happening past 11 o'clock at night. Because in the darkness, that's where the enemy lives. Let me just say that the physical is so often a picture of the spiritual, and we are called to walk in the light. The truth is that everything in our life is one day going to be exposed. And if I really believe that, I'm gonna take stock. I'm going to take time to remember, to evaluate, am I living in the light? Lord, am I doing what you've called me to? Am I living righteously before you? And it's so interesting to me. If we're living in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus' son cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that crazy? If you want relationships that are deep, meaningful, and fulfilling, there's not going to be anything hidden. There's nothing in the dark. You're living in the light. And when you come to Jesus, it's not like, yeah, I think I want to hang out for a little while. He wants you to come and open every area of your heart, especially the dark corners. Why? So that he can cleanse you from your sin, your hidden junk. Oh, it's like taking a spiritual shower. But if you don't get the areas that are really dirty and you get out, like, I don't know if you've ever done that. Like, you thought you took it. Maybe it's because I grew up working manual labor and working with dirt and still doing. My wife's all about that and getting in the flower beds and the gardens. And you think I just got to take a fast shot, and you get out, and then you dry off, and you realize, well, I didn't scrub really good right here. And you look at the towel and it's gross. That's only like a partial shower. When you come to Jesus and you walk in his light, you got to let him get everything, scrub you clean. And when you do that, there's peace and life and hope. And there's relationship, not just with him, but with other people. That's why it says, if we're living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. This is a little known key. That if you want to have healthy relationships, you're going to live in the light of God, and you're not just going to do it in your relationship with him. You're going to bring that light into every relationship that you have. And here's what you're going to find, because the Bible also tells us that in John chapter 1, that the darkness does not understand the light. You're like, I don't know what to do with my friends. Like, I love them. Yeah, you can love them, but you got to live. If they're living in the darkness, and when you begin to shine the light, one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to recognize that light and run to it because they want to be clean, or they're going to go, I don't understand you. This is crazy. Peace out. And they're gone. What's your responsibility? Here it is. Live in the light. Live in the light. This is easier said than done. Why is that? Because the darkness is alluring. This is the deceptiveness of sin, to bring us back to the place of bondage, that we think that because it's kind of fun and alluring and mysterious, and the enemy's there with all these emotions, we end up back in the place of darkness and bondage, because the enemy has a really good way to make bondage look like freedom and freedom look like bondage. But let me tell you, everything's going to come out in the light. So if you're in an area of bondage, you might as well take it now and bring it into the light of Christ, because it's happening one day. Verse 8, if we claim we have no sin, I love that. If we claim that we have, because I've met people, and I'm good. I'm like, really? Hey, have you ever told a lie? Just even a white lie? Yeah. Have you ever taken anything that wasn't your own? Like some small pencil, a piece of candy? Have you ever taken anything? Yeah. Okay. Have you ever, you know, just whether it's a game or it's on a test, have you ever maybe just a little bit cheated? Yeah. Okay, so what you're telling me is you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a cheat, but you ain't never sinned. Please, come on now. Listen, if we claim to have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. You know you. Yeah, we all mess up. But if we confess our sins to him who? To Jesus. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. When you step into the light of Christ and you confess your sin, he forgives you and he cleanses you from wickedness. I don't care how deep it is. I don't care if you've been in the occult. If you've given your heart to Satan himself, that is not an unforgivable sin. You step into the light. Confess your sins. Jesus washes you clean. If we claim that we've not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. I want to grow like Jesus. I want to know you more. Jesus, I want you to be my word of life. Jesus, I want my life to proclaim your goodness. Walk in the light. You've got to live in the light. The second thing, you have to embrace forgiveness. You have to embrace forgiveness. And here's the third thing. I'm going to read for a bit, so just follow with me. This is chapter 2. John goes on. He says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you won't sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He's Jesus Christ, the one and only who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones and cleanses our sins, and not only our sins, but those of the whole world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. Are you walking in obedience? Because if you're living in the light, you've embraced his forgiveness. You're going to recognize that His word is true and you're going to live by it. If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know that we're living in Him, obeying His commandments, trusting Him with His plan for our life. If you love God, you are going to trust Him with His plan for you. Look at the next verse, verse 8. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Does that mean that you got to die on a cross, be betrayed by one of your best friends and condemned to die in an electric chair? No, no, that's not it. Though Jesus did say, if you're going to follow me, you need to take up your cross and follow me. What He's saying is very clear. You have to live like Jesus did, in obedience to your Father. If you know the story of Jesus, God is completely God and completely man. And He knew His purpose and calling was to become the final sacrifice for your sin and my sin, for the whole sins of the world. But He also knew that that would be rejection, betrayal. That would be physical torture, crucifixion, excruciating pain. And He prayed this in the moment just before He knew all of that was going to happen. He prayed, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass before me. I don't want to drink what is about to happen to me. I don't want to take that. But not my will be done, but yours." This is how we know we are trusting and living like Jesus. When we say, "Not my will, but yours." It's a simple thing. Not my way, God, yours. I'm going to live in the light. I'm going to embrace forgiveness. I'm going to live like Jesus by saying, "Not my way, yours." It's hard. It's really hard. It's really worth it. It's really, really worth it. End of the school year. Second hand. It's the 12 at 3 o'clock on the dot. Ring. Freedom. But just for the summer. We have to continue to walk in the freedom of Christ. I'm going to end with this. It says, if anyone claims I'm living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. If you're going to live in the light, if you're going to embrace freedom and live like Jesus, I cannot tell you how important it is that you embrace forgiveness. First, for your own sins, and then for the sins of those who've hurt you. There is freedom that comes when we recognize that Jesus paid the price on that cross and we embrace His forgiveness. But can I tell you, there is such unbelievable freedom that comes when we release people from the wrongs that they've done us and how they've hurt us. And when we do that, we're very much like Jesus, who on the cross looked at His accusers, looked at His torturers, looked at those mocking Him and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the older that I get, the more that I realize, though someone may stab you in the chest with a knife and twist it and say to you, "I hope this hurts," they don't know what they're doing. You want to walk in freedom so that that bell, that 3 o'clock bell, school's out for the summer, is how you live. Live in the light of Christ. Embrace His forgiveness and extend it to others. Live like Him, not my will, but yours. Maybe you're listening to me and you say, "I want that freedom. I want my life to be like the perpetual summer break where I know that there's a freedom that's there. How do I do that?" It's really simple. A, acknowledge that Jesus died on that cross for you. Acknowledge you're a sinner and that Jesus died. You have to believe that it's Him that's forgiven you and brought you to the place of freedom. Jesus said that unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? That means that there's first of, there's a physical birth, but we're all spiritually dead until we come to the place we surrender our life to Christ and we open our heart and his light and his life floods up. Acknowledge, I'm a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for you and then confess. Say with your mouth from an overflow of your heart that knows and believes that he loves you, that he is, and that he died on the cross for you. Say, Jesus, I give you my all. If that's you, you're going, I need that freedom. Pray with me right now. Say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe you died on that cross for my sin. I believe that you are the light of the world, that you are the word of life for me today. And today I give my life to you. In your name, Jesus, I pray this. Amen. And listen, if you prayed that, that is the first step in a brand new journey. And I want to see you grow in your walk with the Lord. And I want to connect you with relationships and resources that can help you grow. So if that was you, let us know. You know how to contact us. You can click on the link in the chat. You can go to our website. You can call our office. Let us know so that we can help you grow. I love you guys. Happy Memorial Day. See you guys soon. God bless.